Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I'm Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the St. Croix Bassmaster Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Strike King Bassmaster College Series and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, High School National Championship, the College National Championship, and the College Bracket event leading up to a Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Now, the best way to communicate with the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/Bass or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the watch button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. We also encourage you to visit our YouTube page at Bassmaster Radio for video versions of interviews with select guests. That's YouTube.com/Bassmaster Radio. Once again, the Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Classic, presented by Hook, delivered incredible action, drama, and crowds as Lake Hartwell, Anderson, and Greenville put on a heck of a show. Day two ended with a flat-footed tie between Jason Christie trying to exorcise demons of past classics and young gun Kyle Welcher poised to break Christie's heart again. And then there was Stetson Blaylock saving the best for last and racking up the Rapala Monster Bag of the tournament on Sunday with 20 pounds, 9 ounces, and nearly boat racing both Welcher and Christie. But in the end, it was Christie getting it done with 17-9 on the final day to edge Welcher by 5 ounces and hold off the charging Blaylock. And we have all three of them in the show today, beginning with Welcher in the Phoenix leadoff role, then Blaylock in the Rapala Monster Bag segment, followed by the Rapala Winner's Circle to wrap it up.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And, now a chance. Let's talk to the guy that finished second. I mean, they were tied for the lead going into the final day. The drama was absolutely amazing. He's got that poker face because he's a poker pro as well as being a bass pro, but he did a tremendous job and just fell a few ounces shy. Finishing second in the Bassmaster Classic was Kyle Welcher, and he joins us now. Kyle, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on.
You know, I we were talking off air, and I was having a hard time getting a hold of you via text, and you said you turned off your text notifications because you had so many notifications. I was worried, you know, talking to the guy to finish second. I mean, sometimes maybe he wants to climb into a hole and forget about it, but you did everything you could possibly do. You know, I know it's a crushing defeat, but how did you feel about it leaving there that, you know, I was that close to winning the Bassmaster Classic?
So initially, whenever I did, you know, first leave, it did sting a little bit. You know how rare those opportunities are to get. You just don't, I mean, you don't even get in contention after day one to win classics that often. So to be that close, it really was a huge opportunity. And I said this from day one, though, is opportunities are not guaranteed. So I was just glad to have an opportunity. We did everything we could do. It did sting as soon as I walked off stage, but it didn't take me long to realize just how much this is going to help my career because I am young in my career and just how big of an accomplishment it is to, you know, make the adjustments I made and put together three really good days on a stage that big.
Yeah, and extremely consistent days, 18-13 on day one, then 17-10, 17-4. I mean, you were very, very consistent in your catches. And look, all you got to do is look to the guy who took the trophy. You know, yes, this is heartbreaking for you, but my goodness gracious, you know, he had been in this position a couple of times before, leading going into the final day. And, you know, Bassmaster history, there's a lot of guys that have had that opportunity, but it feels like you're going to have more chances at this.
I'm definitely planning to have more chances at this. I mean, it doesn't matter what, though. This was a really, really close one, a really good opportunity. But I'm definitely planning on getting me one or two at some point. You know, I'm hoping I've got 20-plus more years to fish, and I hope we make about that many classics. So I definitely am planning on being in contention in a couple more. I definitely want one.
Talk about what it was like backstage out in the yard before you came into the arena. You had a good idea what you had. Jason was playing a little poker with you as well. Did you think you had it won? Did you think you had it lost?
Well, Jason messed up as soon as we got back to the boatyard. And Stetson was leading on Bass Track. And he said, somebody asked him, what does he have? He said, not as much as Kyle. And I said, what you worried about me for unless you know for sure you're going to beat Stetson? Because, you know, Stetson's weight was a little bit more exact. And that's what I asked him. I said, what you worried about me for? Stetson's leading this thing. So as soon as then, I knew he probably had a pretty good bag. And I heard some other people say he probably did have a really good bag. So I did know it was going to be close. I knew he wasn't going to win by a ton. And I didn't actually know for sure that I was going to pass Stetson. So, you know, I was thinking I had somewhere between, you know, 16-10 and like 17-4. Like that's literally the round that I was thinking. And I think I needed 16-14 or 15 to pass Stetson. So it was not a guarantee that I was even going to beat Stetson. And then whenever I did that, I still knew that Jason had a good bag coming behind me. So, you know, I didn't think I was by any means overwhelming favorite to win. I just knew it was going to be so close that literally all three of us still had a shot.
Kyle Welcher with us here. Stone Cold Kyle is what David Mercer calls him, and that's a good nickname for a guy like you. I mean, you certainly you had that look on your face like it could go either way, and Jason Christie kind of pulling to an inside straight here to get you at the very, very end. Put me on the stage. Put our listeners on the stage because you're in the hot seat. He comes up. He's got the weight. You kind of slip right out the back. Do they tell you ahead of time, like, no, you need to stay there? You got to hug him. You got to do this. Congratulate him. Or did they take get the hell off the stage? What was going through your mind at that moment when they announced his weight?
Well, we didn't actually have any kind of a coordination for what was supposed to happen after that. So whenever I seen how much he had, I gave him a pat on the back. And I, you know, it's his moment. You know, he's the guy standing there. He won it. In my opinion, nobody wants to see from me anymore. So I gave him a pat on the back. I turned around and I went down and started talking to media and stuff and got on with the rest of the stuff we had to do. So, I mean, no, we were not coordinated. I didn't know what I was supposed to do if I had another interview coming or what, but whenever he won, that was his moment. I didn't really want to get shot in the face with confetti for coming in second, so I turned around and patted him on the back and left.
That's pretty classy. Kyle Welcher with us here. So had you thought, overnight going into day three, had you thought much about tie? Like, what happens if there's a tie? Because it's first fish. I mean, do you just drop the trolling motor and start firing? I mean, what would you have done if you guys had been in a tie and had to come back on Monday morning for a tiebreaker, one fish tiebreaker?
I'm pretty sure I could have caught one in 15 minutes. I'm pretty sure. Now, he might could have dropped the trolling motor and caught one faster, but I believe I could have caught one extremely quickly. I had a spot early that they were schooling. I went to it every day, and I caught some very fast. And then on day three, I actually didn't go there because it was mostly small fish. I went there late in the day on day three, and they were still schooling. So I had a spot where if it was a tiebreaker, I would have liked my chances. Now, he might would have dropped the trolling motor and caught one in two casts, but I would have liked my chances in the tiebreaker.
Now, what does this do for you mentally going forward now? Because it's you got just basically this weekend, and then boom, you're on the way now over to Santa Cooper over there. And, you know, mindset-wise, you had a tough start in Florida. Florida was not good to you. You know that. But yet now you come off second place at the Classic. You go to Santa Cooper, try to get the rest of this Elite Series going, make sure you're in Knoxville next year for next year's Classic. Where are you at mentally coming off of this thing?
You know, one thing that I did a lot in this tournament is I ran a lot of new water. Like going into the tournament, I started on my starting spot first thing in the morning on day one. I caught two really nice ones, and that really freed me up. And I instantly went from there and started running new water, trying to find new fish and more big fish. because I knew, I mean, practice for the Classic is so far out from the actual tournament that, you know, you have to run some new water during that event. So on day one, I ran some new water, and then on day three at 10 o'clock, I just put all the rods down and started running all new water for the rest of the day. So, and then I had a really good result doing that. So what that incentivizes me to do in the future is whenever stuff gets tough, I just am going to have more confidence to go ahead and run that new water. And that's a big part of my game plan all the time, is I run a lot of new water in tournaments, you know, anyways. But having that positive result is really going to free me up where if stuff's not going right, I can just throw it all out, throw practice all the way out, and just go fishing. And that's really going to be a big help going throughout the rest of the year. That's the kind of stuff you have to do to stay in contention and win these types of tournaments. And now I've been incentivized to do it even more because I had a really good result doing it. So that's kind of the mindset. Just fish my style, fish my strengths, and, you know, find them during the tournament, keep finding new ones, all that type of stuff.
Yeah, that's a great strategy to employ, that's for sure. Give me a minute on the atmosphere, the crowd, 154,000, almost 155,000 people showed up for the three-day event. It sets a new record for Bassmaster Classic attendance, obviously showing that Bass is in tremendous shape and the fans are there. But what is that like for a guy like you to kind of absorb all of that?
You know, it's crazy. You know, fishing is a little bit of a smaller industry whenever you're talking about other sports. But being around that, you know, every gas station I stopped at, somebody was following the tournament. They'd come up to me and say, good job, or we're rooting for you, all that type of stuff. I'm kind of glad how bright the lights are shining on us, because I can't tell how big this crowd actually is whenever I'm up there. But when I'm riding in on the boat, I can see them all. When I'm up there talking to Dave, the lights are so bright, it's hard to really tell exactly how many people are there, but it is huge. Being around that tournament, all the support worldwide, everybody's looking at it, everybody knows what you're doing. To have a good result in that is huge, because I definitely, you know, had a lot of people that were pulling for me, new fans, stuff like that, that I you know, kind of picked up throughout this event. So doing good in a tournament that big is a super huge boost for your career.
You threw a shaky head, you threw a jerk bait, and then of course you threw a jig a little bit as well. What was the most productive for you out of those three?
So on the last day, I caught four on a wacky rig, and I hadn't caught any on the other time. But I would say a swim bait probably played a little bit more than anything else. Mm. I caught some keyfish on a shaky head, one really big one on day one. Caught a big one on day one on a jerk bait, but being either a 2.5-inch swim bait or a 6-inch swim bait, that's just what I caught the most fish on that week. I definitely weighed in the most probably on a swim bait type of a bait.
Tremendous stuff. Kyle Welcher has been our guest. Kyle, great tournament. Second place, the 50,000 doesn't suck either. And, you know, off to Santee Cooper, and looking forward to big things out of you the rest of the way on the Elite Tour.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, there you go, Kyle Welcher. That's great stuff right there in our leadoff role. All right, we'll get a break in here. When we come back, Stetson Blaylock won the Rapala Monster Bag and had a big bag on the final day and pushed both of these guys. We'll talk to Stetson Blaylock next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And now, time to talk to the guy. I mean, a lot of times you talk to first, second, and third after an elite event. This year we've been talking to first, second, and the VMC Monster Bag winner. This week for the Bassmaster Classic, it was the Rapala Monster Bag winner, and he happened to come in third. We thought he might have won the tournament for a minute there. He is Stetson Blaylock, and he joins us now. Stetson, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. Finally got a little bit of time to kind of go over in my mind how the week ended up and just how grateful I am for a solid tournament on the biggest stage in the sport. It's been a good time.
Did you think it was 20 pounds, 9 ounces to win the Rapala Monster Bag? You get that late call. That was fantastic drama. I mean, that late fish that you catch and watching you try to get that crankbait out of that fish's mouth, and you literally were seconds. I mean, you had seconds to go at the end there. Did you think going in, you know what, I might have won this thing? What, did it ever cross your mind you might have won this thing?
Well, it from the time I caught that fish until the time I loaded my boat, yes, those are all thoughts that go through your mind. But at the end of the day, you know, the bass track is only good for drama. It's not a end all be all, and I knew that going in. And just kind of the vibe I was getting from the other guys. You know, I knew some other guys had some pretty solid bags, and for me to know that I did all I could was enough, but I definitely felt like I needed one more.
Yeah. And you know, the Bass Trek, it's one thing with the fence. My wife, well, I had to leave early because I do ESPN Radio in Alabama, and I had to be back for the morning show on Monday. And so I left a little bit early, but I'm listening to it, and I'm trying to follow the Bass Trek as we're driving back from the Classic. And my wife would not – I kept saying, check Bass Trek. She goes, no, it's going to ruin all the drama at the end and the way. And she goes, I'm not letting you know what's going on Bass Trek. We're not going to look at the Bass Trek. And the thing is, you're weighing your fish – Welcher and Christie are just throwing them in the box and saying 2 pounds and it's 2.5, 3, you know, yeah. That kind of stuff. You're kind of had, everybody knew kind of what you had was pretty accurate except for that last fish. You knew when you got to the boatyard, those other two guys, they might have been sandbagging. Who knew what they had?
Absolutely. And that's part of the game. You know, that's one thing about bass fishing that makes it exciting is we really don't know. And even on my scale, you know, my scale may not be, yes, it's accurate for itself, but is it accurate with the bass scale?
Right.
And nobody really knows. And we do our best, but at the end of the day, you know, you want to catch everything you can. And no matter what the scale says, we know that those scales don't lie and they tell the end all be all story. And, you know, being as – and then I had so many people texting me thinking I had won and calls and just the overwhelming amount of support throughout the day, throughout the evening, and even after weigh-in was over was just incredible. And you know, I've been in this position before in other tournaments, in Angler of the Year, you know, second, thirds. I've been there. I've done it. I know how it feels. I know what to expect. But at the end of the day – we know we do all we can, and I'm not going to be disappointed with that. And, you know, going in there feeling like I had a shot was the best thing that could ever happen. And moving up each day, I mean, I started out in eighth, moved to sixth, and ended up third. I mean, how can you be mad at that? There's no way.
Yeah, you can't. As fishermen, we tend to go back and look at, you know, you say like your second day with 15 pounds, 7 ounces, and it was a little bit lighter day for everybody on day two. We tend to go back and look at the fish you might have missed or that you saw that didn't hit or whatever and dwell on that and not on the blessings of the great day that you had, you know what I mean, and the fact that you had so much. So, you know, maybe you would have had 17 or 18 pounds on day two, but maybe you would have had 17 or 18 pounds on day three as well. You know, you probably finished right where you were going to finish.
Yep, exactly. And that's one thing that you can always go back and dwell on, the woulda, coulda, shoulda. But I told myself, and I think I told the camera when I was idling in on day three, I'm never going to look back on this tournament at coulda, woulda, shouldas, because I know in my heart that I did everything right and went out there on day three and caught the biggest bag of the tournament. And that's all you can ask for. That's it. You can't ask for anything more than that. There always has to be a loser. There always, in every sport, no matter how good of competition there is, every game is going to end in a loser. And this week, as good as I performed, I still just came up a little bit short. And, hey, you know, before we go any further, my hat's off to Jason Christie, because he's been in that position and lost that tournament multiple times. And for him to be able to hold it together all day long and be able to come out with a consistent weight for 3 days and win that classic, that's pretty incredible, because the guys behind him, including myself, were coming and coming hard. And for him to be able to maintain that lead and to win that tournament is pretty cool.
Yeah, and when you go back and look at it, and if you haven't already, but at some point in time, I know all the guys like to go back and kind of look at live and see how the day developed. 10-10-30. It's happening again to him. You know what I mean? It's that those demons have to be kind of creeping into his head, because he's kind of struggling. His first spot, which was his normal spot on days one and two, didn't pan out for him very well, and that's starting to creep into his mind while you're out there wrecking him. You know, and he doesn't know that you're out there wrecking him. But that's what you guys have to do as fishermen. You got to control your mind as much as anything else.
Absolutely. And I think too, me coming back, or me starting so far back in sixth place, that was actually a good thing for me. Had I been tied with him, I probably wouldn't have caught 20 pounds. You know, had I been right there behind him within a pound or so, I probably wouldn't have been able to fish as calm and do the things that I did on day three. So, again, you know, I'm content with the way it turned out. And I know that my time's coming, and I know that when it's meant to be, I'll hold that trophy over my head. And until that day comes, I'm going to take all the good finishes I can.
You know, you alternated between a wacky rig, Yum Dinger, and a crankbait, doing some damage on the crankbait late. But that Yum Dinger, I got to tell you, I've been a fan of that thing for a long time, but I've never wacky rigged it. I always used it as a Texas rig. I like the big one, you know, the big 8-inch one on Gunnersville. We'll throw that in the grass and do some damage with it. But I never thought of using that as a wacky rig type worm, but with the thickness and the heft of that bait. Just talk about that technique a little bit, because that sounds like, you know, that's something that we need to do. We got to look at a Yum Dinger as a wacky rig worm.
Sure. No, and yes, everybody knows, you know, I caught a lot of my fish on a crankbait, but as the tournament progressed, day two was predominantly, even though I had a lighter bag, I caught almost all those fish on the Yum Dinger. And then day three, predominantly those bigger bites were all on the Yum Dinger. And for me, it's a confidence bait. I know that I can stick a nail weight in the end of that thing and throw it as a Necco or wacky, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, to me, it's just something that I understand greatly. And I've had a lot of success on Hartwell with it and all other, in a lot of other lakes. And, you know, including every other tournament we've had in 2022 so far, I've weighed in fish on that bait. And for me, it's a confidence bait. It's a bait that I know that I can get bit. And obviously now the world knows that you can catch giants on it. And to me, it's something that I'm going to have tied on just about every day that I go.
Yeah, Stetson Blaylock with us here with the Rebel, a monster bag, 20 pounds, 9 ounces of the tournament, and also a third-place finish there. Speaking of which, in our last couple of minutes, you mentioned your start to the season. I mean, you were 8th at the St. John's, 17th at the Harris Chain. This is a heck of a start. You're 4th place now in the standings, in the AOI standings after the first couple of events. Coming up next week, it'll be Santee Cooper. Just talk about the start of the season, having Florida behind you with those two great finishes, and how this sets you up, you know, in the AOI race going forward.
Well, it's still a very long season, I want to say that, but coming out of Florida with two solid finishes and in the top five in the AOI points is huge for me, especially coming in what I call my time of the year, you know, the spring, you know, early spring spawn and then post spawn time of the year is when I've done most of my damage in my career. And I feel good about it. I feel like we have some really good tournaments coming up with Santee Cooper and then with Chickamauga. And then we go back to Lake Fork where I've had some success. So the next little run of tournaments is going to be a telltale of how the year's going to go for me. And but to start out strong, a top five finish at the Classic, you know, being top five in the points, it's part of being in the momentum of the riding that wave of success and just staying on top of it and making sure that I continue to be mentally strong and make the right decisions on and off the water to set myself up for a run at AOI this year.
Stetson Blaylock in his sixth season now on the Elite Series Tour, closing in on $700,000 in winnings with Bass, which is a tremendous deal as well. Okay, finally, were you aware? We had some guys tell us that they really are so focused on fishing, they really didn't know about the Monster Bag program by Rapala and VMC. Did you know, and were you aware that there was this extra little bonus if you had the biggest bag of the tournament?
I did not until right before weigh-in. And it's funny, Brian New was leading that up until that final day with 20 pounds even. And he came to me and he said, "Hey, man, you know, I would like to win that Monster Bag Award. If you don't mind, would you like to cull some of these fish out here in the parking lot?" And I'm like, "Oh, dude, I didn't even think about that. That's cool." And then lo and behold, I come in and beat him by 9 ounces. So to win that award, it's nice to have those little extra bonuses. When you do perform and you do go out there and you catch the biggest bag, it's always nice to have a little extra coming in.
Yeah, no, it's a really cool thing that VMC and Rapala are doing, and you are the beneficiary of it this week for sure. Well, good luck at Santee Cooper. Winners come on in our winner's circle segment too, so hopefully we'll be talking to you again sometime this season.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now time for the Rabala Winner's Circle, and this is the Winner's Circle to end all Winner's Circle, because Jason Christie, with an emotional win, a great win, a tight win, and one of the closest Bassmaster Classics ever. He got it done at the place that broke his heart back in 2018. It was such a fantastic story, and he joins us now to talk about that and what's next. Jason, champ, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
I'm great. Glad to be on the show. How are you doing today?
Not as good as you. I mean, you know, it's great. We winners come on after every event, so you know, hopefully we'll have you on again. I know we had you on after you got the win at the Sabine River, and you know, you did a TV commercial for your great sponsor for Express Boats that said you were back for unfinished business. You won that tournament. It looked like you went in the studio, recut the spot, and said, "I still have unfinished business." What's the next spot going to say? Now, what do you say? Finished? I mean, what is up now?
I don't know. You turn your papers in, I guess, say you're done. I don't know. We actually shot the spot Monday, but that's going to be a surprise.
You
kind of watch live and see what comes up next. I was. Busy. It was one of those, I walk in 5 minutes and we were out the door and headed the other way. So stay tuned to see what the next commercial will reveal.
That's good stuff. Well, you know, you still can win a an Angler of the Year. I mean, that wouldn't you add that to the list of things that that you got, because I don't know what else you can do. I mean, you'd have to go off and be an Olympic skier or something like that, because you've pretty much now mastered everything in this sport.
I went skiing this morning. I will never be a master skier. I promise you that.
And you know, Jason, when Brandon Lester won the first Open of the season and knew that he was locked into the next Bassmaster Classic, he talked about the relief that he felt going on to the rest of the Elite Series. You, of course, are now locked in as well. And look, you're off to a great start. You know, points aren't going to be an issue for you, but you know you're locked into 2023 now in Knoxville. Well, how much does that mean to you, just kind of having that little nugget off to the side?
I mean, it just lets the pressure off. You know, I can go fishing really just for fun the rest of the year. You know, not worry about being in the Classic, which, you know, comes to mind at every event because obviously you can't win the Classic if you're not in it. But I don't have to worry about that. You know, I can unload, go fishing, do what I need to do, and just have fun and maybe take a little, you know, a few chances, maybe, just go fishing, really. I mean, and that's, I look forward to that as much as anything, and honestly, maybe stop by Knoxville and maybe practice start looking around a little bit going through there. That's one of the advantages I have. I have almost a year to start kind of preparing for the Classic.
Yeah, that is a great point. And, Florida was decent for you. You made a good check at Harris Chain, made the cut there, and not as good at the St. John's. Do you look at your spot in the points and say, well, maybe this isn't the year I'm going to points fish. Maybe I do swing for the fences, you know, pick up another couple of $100,000 checks, even if you bomb a tournament or two here or there, because the points might not be, you know, if you were third or fourth or fifth already and you were right there, maybe you fish a little bit differently than you would, you know, being in your position after Florida.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, we're early in the season, and I still believe that, last year I moved all the way up to second and had, a worse finish than I have this year already. So I just need to really catch them the rest of the year if I'm going to make a push for that. But, you know, one of the cool things about the Classic winning that is I don't have to worry about all that. I don't have to worry about points. I'm just, I mean, literally, I'm going to just go fishing. I mean, I'm going to probably pack two sandwiches rather than one and just take a lunch break every day and maybe try to find one of those little hidey holes somewhere and I don't know. I just want to have fun the rest of the year fishing and just enjoy, you know, what happened the past week and not forget it because, soon there's going to be another Classic champion and then I just don't want to forget it. You know, you just kind of settle in and soak it all up and have fun with it.
Jason Christie with us here coming off his win at the Bassmaster Classic. A very consistent week, 17-1 the first day. You had the big bag on the second day when you had 19-6. You talked about it's like NASCAR. You know, Earnhardt used to always talk about wanting to be like third, you know, coming into those last couple of laps and being able to make that move. Sometimes you don't want to be leading. You said you would rather kind of come from behind a little bit. It turned out you were tied with Kyle Welcher. I mean, how crazy was that to be tied going into the final day? And feeling like you got to beat that guy and then hope that somebody doesn't come from behind with a huge bag like Stetson Blaylock almost did.
Right. And that, you know, thinking that, I mean, I didn't want to be really in the lead unless it was like 10 pounds. But, and I guess if you don't want to be leading, that's the best thing to do is kind of, you know, split the lead. And I was, you know, I thought about it some on the last day, and especially driving back to the weigh-in. You know, this lake has so many fish in it, and the first day of practice, I saw 25 pounds, and I knew that, you know, and I thought the same thing that you just said. Well, first of all, I got to beat Kyle, who's caught them 2 days in a row, and then hope that somebody else doesn't go out and catch, you know, 22, 24. But man, it's I'm glad they didn't. I kind of got lucky on that one a little bit. I think that last day, you know, the fishing was a little bit tougher, I believe, as far as a group. But everything worked out. You know, I think not losing a fish all week, just everything. I mean, you know, getting fish over cables and ropes and. I've said it. Everybody says it. I think whenever it's meant to be, you can't fight it off. And I think this one was just meant to be. I mean, Kyle talked about how many fish he lost.
Yeah.
You know, big fish that he lost, he told me after the weigh-in. I just think that it was meant to be.
I won't lie. About 10 o'clock, it was getting a little painful. You know, I'm sitting there, I'm watching this thing, and I'm like, oh, my God, please don't let this happen. And it's just, you know, the sentimental favorite, so close once again, same place, came back to Bass, all these things that were in play. And I'm like, this isn't going to happen. And boom, all of a sudden, you got that third one, and then you get the two late calls, which I think won you the tournament. I mean, you won by 5 ounces, those two late calls. But how did you battle those demons climbing into your mind thinking about, oh, is this happening again?
Well, they showed up about 10:30 on Sunday. I was pretty calm, you know, and I expected a little bit of drama on the last day. I mean, it just, you know, the plan can't go perfectly, and all of those deep fish, a lot of those deep fish left. But they, you know, the demons showed up 10:30, and literally I thought about it for a minute. And just fought it off. You know, I looked at Jake, who was the camera guy who had rode with me in the 18 Classic on the second and third day. And, you know, I just told him, I was like, dude, we just got to get another bite.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then it was gone. I mean, I don't know that. I mean, if you watch live, I didn't catch that many fish. But I was, I feel like I was really focused on what was going on, even though I wasn't getting a lot of bites. You know, I think my jig was sliding where it needed to be, and I was kind of on point all day, knowing that I told Jake, we just need a bite. You know, and then we'd get one. I was like, we just need another bite. We just got to catch five. And, you know, when we caught five, we just need one big one. So I think at no time on the last day did I really spin out. So
yeah,
I didn't think that I had it won. I mean, honestly, when I checked in, for at 3 o'clock, I honestly thought that I didn't win because I just never got that big bite that I felt like I needed to close out the event. But, you know, obviously I had more weight than I thought I did. I thought I was in the, you know, upper 16 or somewhere in there. But, you know, whenever you throw in an event like this, you catch those fish, you put them in the live well, I don't study them. I don't weigh them. I just put them in there. And you know, when we got to the arena, I started pulling out. I was like, I might have a little more than I thought I did.
Yeah, you certainly did. And you had enough to get the win by 5 ounces. And, you know, when we think of Jason Christie, we think of a spinning rod and a 3/16-ounce jig head and you know, shaking a do-nothing. Said no one, okay? No one. I thought you had a great chance going into this thing because with the weather the way it had been and the warming trend, I thought you'd be throwing that spinnerbait up under those docks and in that dirty water, and you'd be throwing a vibrating jig and all that kind of stuff. I didn't see it going the way it went, but, man, you showed some versatility on this. Eventually, you got that jig going, but it was amazing watching you do the work. I didn't even know you owned spinning rods, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I've actually kind of been working on it a lot, you know, the past 4 or 5 winters when I'm home fishing. You know, I think that you thought that you would see me up there running dirty water, but I think with the weather coming, I think a lot of the other anglers, that kind of was some of my strategy. I figured a lot of the other anglers were thinking the same thing, and there just wasn't enough dirty water to go around. You know, it was kind of spotty, and even, you know, what we call dirty water, I didn't think it was that dirty, and I just didn't feel like it was, I didn't have the gut feeling whenever I got in it this time. It was just, I felt like when I got in around that dirty water, I was fishing history rather than, you know, kind of fishing the fish. So right. I chose early to bail on anything that had dirty water, anything to do with dirty water.
So Welcher put 17.4 on the scale. Now you're walking up, coming out of your boat. You're not even sure whether, you know, they want you up there right then. I can see the look on your face. You're like, when do I come up? You go up there. That moment, those seconds before you're about to put your bag on there, are you thinking that you covered the 17.4 or not?
No, I mean, honestly, I thought it was going to be close. I mean, if the scales would have flashed anything, I mean, like an out, lose by an ounce, one by an ounce, I just did not want to tie. I didn't really know. I mean, once I got my bag out of the boat, you know, I kind of felt like I was like, I just knew it was going to be close. And, you know, I'll never forget when those numbers flashed on that screen. Gosh, it was just, you know, that moment lasted, you know, that moment was a half a second, but there was, gosh, days and weeks and years of sweat and tears and all that stuff that went through my mind. And you know, that's just something, that's one of those I won't forget. And, you know, it was special.
Yeah.
I mean,
Jason, we appreciate you so much. Congratulations on getting the Bassmaster Classic and checking that box. We can't wait to see the new commercial. And, hey, you never know. It could be another Rapala winner circle for you down the road. Got a lot of tournaments left this year. So good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. And thanks for having me on the show. And have a great day.
All right. Thank you, Jason Christie. What a great guy. That's such a popular win. All right. Let's get a break. We'll come back and wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and as we idle this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Rapala Fantasy Fishing is underway, and you can win great prizes every elite tournament week by going to Bassmaster.com and clicking on the Fantasy page to register your team. There are individual prize packages each week and a grand prize for the season-long winner that includes over $20,000 in prizes, plus a fishing trip with Davey Height. You can also play Mercury's Drain the Lake game game as well, an eliminator-style game explained at the site with weekly prizes and a grand prize that includes a fishing trip with Mark Zona in Michigan. Go to Bassmaster.com/fantasy to get signed up today. Check out this dream sweepstakes at Bassmaster.com. Enter to fish with legendary father-son team Roland and Scott Martin. Along with that, you'll receive a $2,500 gift card from AFTCO. Trip package includes round-trip airfare for the winner to a location to be named, 3 days and two nights hotel accommodations, and a rental car for the duration of the trip, plus $500 spending money. Go to Bassmaster.com/sweepstakes to sign up today. And check out profishing.shop for our exclusive lifestyle line, hashtag fish on, to proclaim your love of fishing. And take a look at the legendary lake series as well. You can even buy Bassmaster radio gear and check out the new line of coffee mugs there as well. That's profishing.shop. If you're like me, you never stop learning the best bass fishing techniques and tricks, and now we have the place to find it all in one place with Bass University's BassU.TV/radio. You'll find over 900 training courses from the most talented anglers on the planet, including Mike Iaconelli, Greg Hackney, Jason Christie, John Cox, Hank Cherry, and many more. If you want to become a better bass angler, visit BassU.TV/radio and sign up. That's BassU.TV/radio. And begin learning today. The Bass University. Never stop learning. BassU.TV/radio. Taking a look at the upcoming schedule, the Guaranteed Rate Bassmaster Elite at Santee Cooper Lakes is coming up March 17th through the 20th. Then it'll be the Strike King Bassmaster College Series at Lake Norman, presented by Bass Pro Shops, March 25th through the 26th. The St. Croix Bassmaster Southern Open, presented by Mossy Oak Fishing, is at Cherokee Lake. That will be March 31st through April 2nd. Remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's always just a click away at bassmaster.com/radio, or just hit the watch button and click on Bassmaster Radio.